We're going into prayer. Again, we welcome you to Focus to Change Ministry, radio, broadcast, and podcast. Let us bow, if we can, where we may be, focus on what you want the Lord to do in your life right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you right now. Thank you for this day that you have made. Thank you for another chance and opportunity. The opportunity you've given us right now. You've touched us again with your finger of love. You allowed us to awake, to arise out of our beds. You've given us a second chance, new opportunities. Father, all we have to do is choose you and be obedient to your word, to your commands. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you. We thank you. Give us a heart of true worship, Father. Of true prayer, Father. Of true submissiveness, of true admittance, admitting our sins and our wrong that we may have done against you according to your command. Touch right now, Lord, for those that need healing, those that need deliverance. Father, those that need a breakthrough. Father, those that need to move forward, Father, and to reaffirm their faith, Father, to reaffirm their lives in the right direction for you, and being obedient to your word, to your will, and your way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you right now. Again, you've given us this opportunity. You've given us this second chance. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Thank you. It's up to us to make the choice, to choose ye this day whom we shall serve. Father, there's so much going on today, but you're working your words have already said that these things in the perilous, or in the last days, that perilous times shall come. The perilous times are here. Just the beginning of sorrow you have spoken. We must realize and recognize what's going on around us. Storms, weather's changing, don't know when, how it's going to happen from one day to the next. These are signs of the ends of time. End of time and the perilous time. Not that it's over yet. But there's difficult times that we're going to face, and we're facing them right now. All to bring us, to draw us to you. We need to recognize that right now. Recognize it. Don't just go about our everyday routine as if nothing is happening. Touch the hearts and minds of people that are willing to hear your voice. They're willing to serve you. Willing to turn their lives over to you, Father. With trueness of heart, soul, mind, and spirit. Father, thank you right now. Thank you again for this opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No matter what, you're still in control. No matter the situation, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, no matter what we're dealing with right now, you are still in control. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your tender mercy. Thank you for your grace, your mercy. Thank you for opportunity. Thank you for chance. And thank you for change. Father, bless us right now and bless the hearers right now. God, let your word go forth right now with a convincing and convicting word, Father. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would speak through me, that they hear your voice and not my voice, but your voice through my voice in the name of Jesus. Father, that they would hear you speaking to them, questioning and giving them chance and opportunity right now for change. And right now, a chance to worship you. Father, we thank you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen and amen. We thank the Lord. Amen. We thank him for everything that he's done. We thank him for what he's doing. We thank him for what he's going to do. We praise him right now. We lift him up. We glorify him. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, that we should choose to worship you today, to lift you up. Hallelujah. To glorify your holy name. You're worthy of the honor. You're worthy of the praise. You're worthy of the glory. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you right now, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you that you've given us a chance right now to worship you, to glorify you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you right now. Thank you, Jesus. I choose to worship you today. I choose to lift you up today. I choose to magnify your name, and I can't give up. I can't give up on what you're giving me a chance to do right now. A chance to glorify your name, to lift you up, to give you thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you right now. Thank you. No matter how tough, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult it is, I just want to praise. I want to worship you. I want to glorify you. I want to give you praise. I want to magnify your name. I want to lift you up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. I choose to worship you right now, Jesus. Give you glory. Give you glory. Give you praise. To magnify your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you. We praise you right now, Jesus. We praise you. And we worship you in spirit and in truth. Come on, heal me right now, Jesus. Heal us right now, Jesus. Deliver us right now that we may worship you right now, Jesus. Oh, don't you want to give him the glory today? Don't you want to give him the glory today? You should have awakened with a praise, with a worship, with the glorifying his name in your heart today. Lift him up. Give him some thanksgiving. You see, if you're getting better through your sickness, he's healing you. If you come through your illness, he's healing you. He's delivering you. If stuff is dropping off of you that you didn't used to do, that you're starting to do anew, he's working on you. He's working on you right now. He's giving you a chance. He's giving you an opportunity. If you just allow him today, let him work. Worship him right now, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We can't do this without you. We can't do anything without you. There's nothing we're doing without you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We lift up your name right now. We lift our hands to worship you. Praising you forevermore. Giving you the glory. Giving you the thanksgiving with honor and praise. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Don't you choose to worship him today. Amen. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 It's time for a spiritual word, a breakthrough word, a healing word, a delivering word. Oh, my God. And it is here for you today and I. Amen. 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 Good morning. Turn your attention to the Bible in the book of Psalms 52. Amen. Amen. In the book of Psalms 52. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 52. We're going to read this, and there's a message there for us. And the title of this message in this particular psalmist is about what it's saying here. The end of the wicked and the peace of the godly. The end of the wicked and the peace of the godly. The psalmist right here, he says in the first verse, He says, why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue deviseth destruction, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness, Selah. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living, Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. I will wait. I will wait. This passage is here letting us know that when you practice evil, you deal in wickedness, your time is coming. As a matter of fact, your time is here. And the writer asks, why do you do this? What is it that you're trying to gain from all of your riches and all your evil? What is so or more important than giving the Lord his glory and his due? Why? What's on your mind? We're living in this world today where people are more concerned with the things of this world, the riches in this world, the pleasure in this world. Just as the children of Israel did when the Lord was bringing them out of slavery and bondage. It never ceased to amaze me when people have been freed or delivered, healed from something, brought out from something. As soon as they start doing pretty good, they go back to doing their old ways, the old things. The things that they was delivered from, they turn back to that stuff, failing to realize that was the stuff that caused you all your issues in the first place. Why would you want to return to something that does you no good, but does you more harm than anything? Why? We're living in a world where we see this happening every day because the influence of the adversary and his deceitfulness, blinding people with the things of the glare or the flashiness of the beautiness of the world. This is how Eve caused everything to be in the beginning. Eve herself, when the serpent was speaking to her, and the first thing that she answered when the question was put up on her, why did she do this? And Adam asked her, he said it looked pleasing to her. I'm talking about the forbidden fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. It was pleasing to her eyes. I say that because that's the world we live in today. People are more concerned with what's pleasing to their eyes, but not what's pleasing for their souls, for their inner man, the spirit man. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? Why? Bragging about all of the evilness of the world, the things you're doing and stuff so forth. In the communities and up and down the streets, the young people and those that are listening to all of the other music, secular music or the wave of the world. I never seen so much or heard so much that is so much violence in the music and so much cursing, so much blasphemy in the music, but they're puffed up by it and thinking that they feel good. It makes them feel good, causing them to be arrogant and not realizing that they're falling by the wayside. That one day they're going to have to pay if they don't repent right away for what's going on right now. And the reason that we're looking at the things that we see in the world today, because of this evilness that's present in our lives and people's lives, that they're serving the things of this world more than they're serving the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, why do you boast, O evil? Boast of evil, O mighty man. Evil. Your tongue, the loving kindness of God endures all day long. Even through in the midst of your wrong and your mess up, he still loves you, trying to give you a chance. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Always trying to figure out a cunning way of getting over or getting around doing what's right. You love evil more than good. That's what we are today. You love evil more than good. And falsehood more than speaking what is right. The Bible lets us know that we would be living in these times, that people would rather believe a lie than the truth. You love all words that devour, and oh, deceitful tongue. That's the tongue that is ruly and full of poison, unruly, that you cannot control it. I've never seen where there's so many people that when you're trying to give them advice or give them direction or instruction, that they always got to say something, always got to answer behind what you're trying to tell them. But they haven't been here very long. They haven't experienced very much. But the one that have experienced more, a great deal than they have, trying to give them advice or some direction or instruction, they got the answer already. But then when they go down the road a little ways and then they make up a mess up and have a mistake or a problem or issue, now they need the answer. But they wouldn't listen to the answer when they first started out, when you were trying to give it to them. This is where we are today, biblically today, that when we're preaching and ministering this word, trying to give you the truth of the word of the living God, yet the questions in the back of your mind and want to question God's word, when all you need to do is just obey God's word. Hallelujah. Just obey it. But you love evil more than good and falsehood more than speaking what is right. Selah. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down. Listen to that. But God will break you down forever. He will take you away and tear you away from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. One day you're going to leave this world, Selah. You're going to leave this world. But the righteous will see it and fear and will scoffingly laugh, saying, look, this is the man who would not make God his strength, his stronghold, and his fortress. The one that wouldn't listen. The one that already had it figured out. But trusted in the abundance of his riches. People are millionaires and billionaires and think they got those riches and that's all they need, that's going to get them into heaven. No, it will not. You won't be able to take it with you and you won't be able to buy your way into heaven. No, ma'am, no, sir. Will not happen. Trusted in his abundance of riches, taking refuge in his wealth. But as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust confidently in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. That's the one that walking uprightly in the word of the true and living God. He said, I will thank you forever because you have done it. You have rescued me and kept me safe. I will wait on your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones, in the presence. So this is the futility of the boastful and the wickedness. The foolishness, this is the end of the wicked and the peace of the godly. So in other words, when you obey God's word, you have peace that's going to happen in the end. But when you do not obey God's word, you continue to walk in these wheels and these ways, then there are things that are going to happen to you. Your day is coming that is going to be measured for the things that you have done. My God, my God. He is a precious God. Let me turn your attention to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Let me bring this into the perspective of where I'm heading here. That I'm trying to give you a sending warning. This is just a warning to you. And this is a verse of scripture you've heard more and more and more. But I'm going to read down to 7 and 14. But I'm going to begin at verse 12. This is the time when the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, his second appearance. At verse 12, he says this. He said, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. He said, when I shut up heaven, there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. Among my people. Then he comes and he pauses a minute. He said, but if my people, this is God speaking to Solomon in a dream, if my people who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. I will heal their land. But he goes on to say this. He goes on to let us know, not only if they did that, he says, then now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgment, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as a ruler in Israel. In order to get the understanding of this, you have to understand the children of Israel had gone their separate way from the Lord and not carrying out his commands. When you started in chapter 7 in the beginning, where he began, started with Solomon here. He says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. What I'm trying to get across to you today, the Lord will not just accept anything. And he will not just accept anything that in his house. His house is a house of prayer, not for a den of thieves, not for all of the things, some of the stuff that's going on in God's house that he is not pleased with, that we are going to have to correct. If we're expecting the presence of God to be there for us and there's anointing to come upon us and bring forth healing and change in our lives, that's what's going to have to happen. What's going to have to happen? Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and King Solomon offered the sacrifices of 22,000 bulls and 122,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. This was when the time that Solomon was building the temple of God that he wouldn't allow David to build it. But in the instance of him building it, he was giving him the purposes and reason and what must happen with this temple, and that anything could not be brought in there in any kind of way or any manner. And today, because people are not respecting God's word and not respecting his place of worship, his house of God anymore, I believe the things that have already spoken that would come to pass is based on the things that how we act and how we live. It's what we're seeing right before our very eyes. And we're all shocked about murders and killings and all that. But I'm not shocked by it because the Bible speaks of these things, that the last days, that evil time, perilous time shall be here. Men become boastful, proud, arrogant, arrogant, cocky, arrogant, think they know it all. You can't tell them nothing. They love the world. They love things. They love themselves. They're in vain glory of themselves, of the things and the activity that they do. And it does not give God any glory at all. And you think that the world is supposed to be okay behind it all? No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. We're going to have to do something for it to get that way. And we're going to have to repent. That's what's going to have to happen. This is why it's important to preach repentance and forgiveness of sin to people when they don't understand, when they don't get it, when they don't realize it, when they don't understand what the Lord is saying to them. What he's trying to let us know, what he's trying to give us some direction to do. We are in the time of troublesome time, and yet people are going about their regular routine as if nothing is happening. As if nothing is happening. As if nothing is important. As if nothing doesn't matter. But yet we're looking at, we turn on the news and we look shocked and surprised by what's going on. And then we realize that we're not doing what we should be doing. Some of us do. Some of us do not. Some of us more concerned with the ways of the world, looking good, painting ourselves, fixing up ourselves, riding around in flashy automobiles and all of this stuff, concerned with the things of the world more than concerned with their soul. You're going to die one day and leave this stuff behind. You're not going to take it with you. This is not the time to put our lives more focused on what's going on in the world. We need to put our lives in the proper perspective of what God desires of us. And then the things in the world that we are over or involved with could possibly, will possibly change. It'll change. But it's not going to change until we make up our minds. See, we can come up with all the groups and all the areas and all the things and everything that's happening in our life and everything that's going on. We can come up with every answer, every group, every program, all of that, but it's not going to change the attitude. Not going to stop the killing. It's not going to stop the hate. It's not going to stop the bitterness. It's not going to stop the unforgiveness. It's not going to stop all of the governmental law that they're sanctioning and all the things that are unequal to each other and all of the stuff that's going on that goes against God's principle and his Bible and his statutes. Ain't gonna change. You see, when the world changes is when we change, is when people change, is when people recognize the Lord is who he say he is. And the Lord will do what he say he will do, what he said he will do. And he's gonna do just that. He's gonna do that. So here, what I'm trying to get across you today. Today is to respect God, fear him, admonish him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. But we are living in crucial times, brothers and sisters, times that we are forgetting that God is still in control. He's in control. He's in control. But here, let me show you something where it says in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29 and 30. It really speaks to us in the same way that what we just read here in 2 Chronicles. The point I'm trying to gain across your mind, if my people would change. That's what he's saying. If my people would change, turn from the wickedness of the world, the wickedness of themselves, the wickedness of this flesh. You see, the reason children of Israel, soon as God brought them out of Egypt, they turned back into their old ways. It looks as though all throughout the Old Testament, every time God bring a people out, then they go back to doing the old stuff over again. And then he allows them to repent. And then they repent. And then they go back to doing the old stuff over again. This is what we have today. You know what? We're not living in any different time than what it was. We're in a more modern time. But the same stuff that happened then is happening right now. Hallelujah. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, I believe, verse 29, it says this here. 4 and 29, we gather here. He says, but from there, you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul, when you are in distress and all things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God, and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. In the message today, a key word I want you to listen to. Turn. Turn. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn. And this is when, in Deuteronomy, where they began to perform idolatry, worship other gods. The old chapter, Moses began to command obedience, but then they turned to worshiping idols, images of what they call gods. And just as we are today, we're living today, the thing that our images, let me give you an example today if you don't understand it. You think it's just Old Testament, but it's happening right now. You know what people have made their gods? And it's idolatry as well. They made their jobs their gods. They made their career their gods. They made their homes their gods. They made their lifestyle, the way they live and enjoy life, their gods. Hallelujah. They made their automobiles their god. You see, all of the things that they put before him. See, anything that you place before the Lord, anything that you put ahead of him, you have made it your god. Because, see, he said he's a just, jealous God, and he will not have no other gods before him. And so here, the children of Israel is given another chance to turn. To turn. To turn from what? Their wicked ways. Let me back up to the 25th verse here. Let me read something for you. It says, when you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land and act corruptly and make a carved image in the form of anything, or do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat nor smell. But, what I read before, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. If you seek him. If you seek him. If we want change, we have to seek him. If we're looking for this thing in the world, the things in this world to change, to become better, we have to turn. We have to turn from our wicked ways. Everybody that's playing church, everybody that's false prophesying, anything that's not right in the eyes of God has to change. Ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it. Has to change. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says this. The same thing he said in Deuteronomy here. He says this. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. In other words, while you are alive and well, while you are alive and well, you can call upon him right now. While you're breathing, you can call upon him right now. You can seek him right now. But when the breath leaves this body, And when you've been laid in a box where you can't breathe, you can't move, and you can't see, and you can't hear anymore, there's no more second chances. There's no more second chances in the grave. The reason people don't realize when God, I hear people talk about testifying that they've been going through surgery and had heart attacks and open heart surgeries and all these things that God have allowed them to lay on an operating table, the doctor take the heart out, and they're still living by a machine, and then they put it back and cause them to live again. But it wasn't the doctor, because it was the wisdom of God that allowed the doctor to do what they're able to do, and God allowed them to allow this to happen to you, to give you a second chance. If you go through a death experience, a near death experience, and that doesn't open up your eyes or wake you up to realize that you're just about time for you to check out of here, and you haven't gotten things right with the Lord, then you need to check yourself. You need to check yourself. And if you can't check yourself, you got a real problem. You got a real problem. This warning is not going to keep coming. This warning is not going to keep happening. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is new. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his ways. The wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He'll forgive you if you get rid of it. And that's the reason I read Psalm 52. But if you don't, in the end, what I read, the wickedness, the end of the wickedness is going to happen. God is going to cut you down. You won't make it. You won't last long. And don't think God is a mean God. He's a just God. He means what he says. That's what God is. He's a just God. He's a just God. And he's going to do just what he says. His word came. But let me say this to you. Let me say this in your ear. The Lord has no pleasure. He has no pleasure in you dying and going to hell. He has no pleasure in that. He has no pleasure in that. If he had any pleasure in that, he wouldn't have left these opportunities. In the book of Romans 3:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's given you a chance. He laid a plan out for you to have a chance, but it's up to you with your own free will choice. And it's up to you to recognize your sinful way, that in this nature that you have, it is a corruptible one, and it's up to you to make the change, to make the choice, to make the change. The saying, now have, if you make the choice, Jesus will make the change. You make the choice. Make the right decision to serve him, to give your life to him, to ask for forgiveness. Let the wicked forsake his ways. Let the wicked forsake his ways. I mean, everything he does, let it go. Turn from it. Young men, terrorizing, murdering each other. Arrogant, cocky. Think they know it all. Can't nobody tell them nothing. Lazy, disinterested. Don't want to hear anything about God. Don't want to learn anything about God. Don't want to live for the Lord. Only want to live for themselves and the materialistic things of the world. Young women, all they want to do is have and look well and fine and keep looking young and beautiful, if you call it that, by applying everything that they can to enhance their physical attributes. They put on fake everything. When are the real you is going to show up? When the real you is going to recognize this is a waste of time? It's vainglory. It's vainglory. This message is not to demoralize you, but this message is for you to recognize the problem and the issues for which you are having. And if you do not change, if you don't do what the Bible says, let the wicked forsake his ways, his wicked ways. These things are not pleasurable to God. They're not pleasing to him. What pleases him is that we walk by faith and we obey his commands. That's what's pleasing to him. But when we do anything the opposite of that, it's not pleasing to him at all. Not pleasing. So when are we going to stop having faith, church? When are we going to stop playing church? When are we going to stop just going to church? When are we going to go to church and allow the presence of God to be in church with us? But he will not come in, and we read it earlier, will not come into a house that is not set for his appearance and his presence to come into. He will not enter there. That place must be holy. Did I not read you that even when the presence of the Lord came into the temple that Solomon built, the priests couldn't even come in any kind of way. They had to have a specific way to enter into the house of God. So when we enter into the house of God, we need to change our mindset and to enter into a respectfully honoring and the respect that God would be, his presence would be there. He will not dwell in an unclean vessel. That's when you have to be changed. That's when you have to be born again. That's when you have to be transformed. Hallelujah. I'm going to read another scripture before we. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. Hallelujah. Ezekiel. Hallelujah. You see, it's time, brothers and sisters. All I am saying, and I'm saying it slow, I'm saying it calmly, that you might hear it clearly. It's time to change. Look at what's happening. California got snow, storms everywhere, earthquakes in diverse places, volcanoes erupting, floods in areas, tsunamis in areas, wind storms coming, blowing down. Trees are being uprooted out of the ground, falling across power lines. All sorts of things right before our eyes. Murdering and killing that happen every day so fast, so quickly. People losing their lives. Car wrecks and accidents are happening daily, every second, every minute. And all of the things that we're seeing, and that is not enough to alarm us, that it's time to seek the Lord while he may be found. Disease, mental illness, cancer is running rapid in the land. In every way in the human body. Hallelujah. And you mean to tell me it's not time to change? It's time to turn. Turn. I'm going to begin at verse 10, 33 in Ezekiel. This is the watchman and his message here. It says in Ezekiel 33, verse 10 and 11, therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, and see, this is God commissioning him to tell them, send this warning, give them this warning. This is why we do ministry, is to give you warning. We don't have a heaven or hell to put you in, but the words of the message is what you must be listening to, that you should adhere to. Therefore, you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgression and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? He tells them to do this. He says, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Why should you die? This is the message that he is sending today. He didn't create us that he wanted us to be lost, or that he wanted us to die and be eternal damnation forever. No, that wasn't his reason. That is still not his reason. That is not his goal. He has no pleasure. I told you, he has no pleasure in death of the wicked. The death is for the wicked because he has set plans in place and he have given man free will choice to choose, because he know that he could choose to make up his mind who he willingly want to serve and live for. And then he said, if he wanted eternal life, for the wages of sin is gift of is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through who? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a gift. Eternal life is a gift if you want it and if you desire it. But if you're working for the flesh, if you're working in the flesh, you're operating by the flesh, the wages of sin is death. The wages, the pay you get for practicing and living in sin is death. Death. That's the bottom line. There's no glory there. And it is, and it will be forever and ever. And you will not, and you shall not receive a second chance. I'm crying out to you today. Turn. Hell wasn't meant for us. Hell wasn't meant for mankind. He didn't build it for him. But because man chooses, have a free will choice, then there's going to come a time in the day of judgment that he will say, turn from him. Walk away, leave him. I made you, but I don't know you. Prepare for the devil and his angels in eternity of damnation. If that's not scary enough for you, see, there's a fear of the Lord that's a positive fear, but it's a fear of respect and honoring God. And brothers and sisters and friends and family, men, women, daughters, sons, if you don't have that fear in you against God, if you don't have it, then you have a problem. You have a problem. It's time to turn, to give yourself to him, to let him have his way in your life. I'm not talking about programming. I'm talking about giving your fullness of your life to him, committing yourself to him. I'm talking about allowing him to be the head of your life. Let him be the head. Let him be the ruler. Let him be the controller. Let him be the director in your life. Turn to him. Turn now. Not tomorrow, not the next day, for we can't see that far. We don't know how tomorrow is promised to us. We don't know the next minute is promised to us. Turn. Turn, America. Turn, world. Turn, countries, everywhere. Turn. Turn, children. Turn, communities. Turn. People. Doesn't matter what color you are, what race, national origin you are, turn. These lifestyle that is being allowed to for you to practice, don't think that you can practice these lifestyles that is against God's command and think it's going to go away. It's not. It's not going to go away. Let the wicked forsake his way. Turn. 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 It's time to turn. It's time to give yourself to him. You don't belong to yourself anyway. You didn't make you. Even though mom and dad came together and birthed children, the mother which birthed the children into the world, gave birth to them. But she couldn't have done that without the Lord. She couldn't have done it without the husband, without the man. He couldn't have done it without God, because he created him. God made you. And he made you to praise him. Why? Praise him for Thanksgiving of having life. I don't think people take life seriously enough. The life that you live, God gave it to you. God gave it to you. And why don't you give it back to him by showing that you are willing to praise him? Give it back to him now. All of your addictions and all of your problems, all of your situations, the thing that you're going through, you can't handle them alone. All of the disease or whatever may be in your body, the pain, you can't handle it alone. Why call upon the Lord just for him to relieve your pain, but you won't call upon the Lord to relieve your sin? Come on, give yourself to him right now. Give yourself to him. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for this chance and opportunity. Father, we pray that someone heard you. And when I say heard you, heard your voice through my voice across this broadcast all over the world, wherever it may be heard. That your voice speaking to them in their ears and their hearts, that it pierces their heart and their mind, that they realize their sinful nature, their wicked way need to turn from. Touch, Father, even though they need a healing and deliverance. And let them know if you give them that second chance, it's for a reason. It's not for themselves, but it's for to give you the praise and the glory. So, Father, we thank you today. We thank you have you touched. We thank you have you guided and directed. We give you praise, give you glory. In Jesus' name, Father, we glorify your holy name. We say amen and amen. Selah. God bless you.